But it's not happening. Wait for it. Pray for it. It'll come. I know. It took me sometimes years to get over things. I mean, some things, 10, 15, 30 years in the making. I mean, it's just, you know, if Rome was not built in a day, how long shall it take a heavenly house to be built up in a man so filled with corruption? God could do it all in one night, of course. But that's not the way he wants to do it, obviously. And I see a lot of sense in that. I mean, if God wanted to just do everything at once, then why even make us alive in the world? The things we go through are part of his purpose. All the things we go through, the suffering, the coming out of sin, all God wants us to experience that all in slow motion. If he wanted to do bam, 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 that's what we want. That's the way we want it to be. Well, then we might as well have never been born and just have God create us finished off at the end. Just create me as I'm going to be when I, you know, just bring me into consciousness when it's all over. He wanted us to come into, he wanted us to be born conscious, or conscious, you know what I mean, aware of ourselves before we become the sons of God. I think it's a wonderful thing. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him. We don't, you know, there were people who knew Christ carnally. They knew him as a man. You know, he had people, relatives, the disciples, they all knew him as a man. And that illusion, not that it was an illusion, he literally was a man, but I'm just saying, the illusion of he's just another guy. You know, when they first met him, they thought he might be Messiah. But the full extent of his power, they did not have a real good idea of. Though they began to believe it right away, there were always these lingering doubts, and their eyes were kind of blinded. Think about Peter had walked on water with Jesus and then denied him at his crucifixion. That must have been very painful. And it was because he still saw him as a man, weak, subject to men, and he could be hauled away into prison, And God intended that he should be shocked by all that. And that he should come through. You know, all these things are for our benefit. Everything that happens to the disciples, that happens to us, is for our benefit. It's by his grace that he allows these things to happen to us. Because he's going to make us immortal. Now we don't know him. We know him by the Spirit now. Through the Spirit is the only way we know Christ. I've never met Christ. You know, I look at things, you know, like the Shroud of Turin or something like that, and I kind of look at it and think, wow, that just is amazing. But, I don't really know the man. Not at all. Even seeing that doesn't really, yeah, it's like, that's just like reading words on a page. It doesn't really get me closer to the man after the flesh. The way they knew him. You know, they sat down and ate with him. They waited while he went to take a leak. You know? I mean, they had to live with him as a man. And all that temporal thing that Christ was dissolved. All the temporal nature of Christ. There was a sort of a temporalness to the, you know, he had to take leaks. He had to, you know, eat and stuff like that. And that was temporal. Even in Christ there were things that had to pass away. We don't know him anymore. Like that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's the idea, is we become a new creature. Yes, the instant you believe, you're a new creature. Well, yeah, you get the earnest of the Spirit. It makes a big change in you. But you go from faith to faith. From new creature to improved creature. To new and improved creature. What I mean is, God did not intend that there should just be a moment where you would just breathe a sigh of relief. Whew! I'm saved. Whew! I'm glad I got that out of the way. Now back to life. God did not intend. If you do that, I guarantee you, you will find yourself shut out. God is not mocked. You enter in a covenant with Him, you will fulfill. And the funny thing is, what do you have to do to fulfill? People say, well, how do you fulfill it? I say you, it's simple. Believe the promises of God. Believe all the promises of God. Believe that you can partake of the divine nature. Believe that His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, so that we could become godly and alive. He has called us to glory and virtue. Believe that you can obtain glory and virtue. Yes, even in this life. You are a new creature. You're not subject to the old ways. We walk by faith. Believe the promises of God through whatever difficulties you are subject to. Continue in faith, and you will not be disappointed in the end. But we have to remain steadfast. We have to remain steadfast. And that doesn't mean you don't feel like, God, why have you forsaken me? You may feel that way. But hold on to your faith. Do not let go. Do not succumb. You know, be broken, but not despairing. As in the last chapter, all those things, it is but a light affliction for but a short time. And I mean that of the heaviest afflictions. Though Lord knows, you know, I look at myself and I think, God, I can hardly handle the stupid little things that I consider my problems. And the things that trouble me, I feel like, Lord, when I look at some of the troubles other people have, I'm ashamed of myself. And how easy I have it. I'm ashamed of myself. Because my life is good. And most people would look at my life and say, oh, Paul, your life is a mess. I said, my life is good. My life is good. Because the Lord turns me from my unrighteousness. Things that trouble me are nothing to God. Meaning, He's not going to